The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is Stefan Vaz with Streetlights in Athens, Greece, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Allison and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back. Episode 43, Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast. Hey, everybody. This is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe, and we are the Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Here to help youth workers to keep going. So, you know, it's been a while since we've actually reminded everybody, like, who we are.
Yeah. Who in the world are we, anyway?
So maybe you haven't listened to the show for more than a few weeks, or maybe this is your first time, which would be great. We are two youth pastors in the state of Maryland.
Long time friends.
We've been friends for 12, 15 years.
Almost 15 years now. Yep.
And we've been in our churches a long time.
And did ministry for a long time.
Even longer time. Our churches are down the road from each other, Frederick County, Montgomery County, Maryland. And so we have been friends, partners in our network for a long time. And
had this great idea. Let's start a podcast to help youth workers to keep going and be in youth ministry for the long term, for longevity. So that's our shtick, and we're having a blast doing it, and we're so glad that you've jumped in for the journey.
Yeah. Matthew's been at Cedarbrook for about 15 years?
Almost 15 years now.
I've been here at Mountain View for, this is my 19th, so that's kind of our shtick, and hopefully we can encourage you to keep going in your location and youth ministry for as long as possible, because there's awesome things awaiting you at the other side of longevity.
So thanks for tuning in, and thanks for being a part of the Sherpas podcast.
Yeah, so it's February. This is coming out right before Valentine's
Day. February 12th, Valentine's
Day. So romantic. So
love is in the air.
What are you and Gina doing for Valentine's Day?
Honestly, we work a very large volleyball tournament.
That's right, yeah.
Often it happens on President's Day weekend, so quite often Valentine's Day falls somewhere in the tournament. And
right.
So we'll be in Washington, D.C. together, staying at the Marriott Marquis,
mm-hmm.
although we only get to sleep there about 6 hours a night.
Okay.
Because we work from about 6 in the morning until about 11 p.m. every day, including Valentine's Day this year. So our plans are super romantic.
But you get that dinner. What's that place called?
We do. We go to Fogo de Chao, Brazilian steakhouse on Wednesday night the 13th. So let's call that our Valentine's.
That's your Valentine. You and 50 other people.
Yeah, us and the rest of the tournament staff.
Yeah, that's this huge tournament. I helped out 1 year, man. It's unbelievable operation.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal, and it kind of always falls in there. What about you? What are you and Karen doing this year?
Yeah, I have no idea, actually.
You know it's coming up.
I know. I got to get on it.
You should probably get on that.
Well, someone gave us a gift card to Bonefish Grill for Christmas.
Ooh.
So that would be a good choice. Is that when you're approved?
That kind of feels upscale enough, right?
I love Bonefish Grill. Yeah.
See, I'm not a big fan.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like seafood so much.
Oh, okay.
So they have other things there. I've had a steak there before. It's pretty decent.
The atmosphere is really romantic, too. So we'll probably do that. Now I got to follow through since I said it on the podcast.
No, yeah, well, we'll only come out 2 days before,
right.
So she won't know until then. So by then, you'll have it. You'll have it mapped out. I believe in you, Steve.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. So as we think about Valentine's Day, we realize that love is in the air.
Love. Wow. Steve, this is a deep cut. Are you really playing the theme from Love Boat?
Oh, this is such a beautiful song. It just
makes me
feel so warm and romantic inside.
And I remember, again, I'm dating myself age-wise here, but I remember watching this show and actually thinking it's good. And I see it now and I think, holy cheeseballs, Batman. How is this show okay? Anyway.
Yeah, that was probably the worst show ever on television.
Yeah,
but the theme song, man.
Yeah, it's so good. So good.
Yeah. Do you have any high school relationships?
I did not date much in high school. I'd say that from a
handsome young stud muffin like you.
I was not the man you see before me now in high school. Yeah, that's actually true. I was much thinner at that point in time. But no, I was super shy. I was a wallflower. I mean, again, we've talked about this before.
I can't imagine. I came out
of my shell later in life. But okay. Not for lack of trying. There were definitely people I was interested in. There was a girl in our youth group that I went to in high school that I was quite sweet on for many, many years. Never turned into anything, but trust me, she was the one that I was going to make sure I sat next to at evening church, because you knew at the end the pastor was going to have everybody hold hands to pray.
Oh, well played.
And so, you know, you got to kind of work your way in there, but never materialized anything. And that was probably the extent of my, I probably had a couple of very short-lived dating relationships in high school that didn't end well, as most high school dating relationships don't.
The church is such a great incubator.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah.
So great.
I remember having some crushes on girls in church.
Were you a serial dater in high school?
I was the master of the first date.
Ooh.
I could get a first date with, I had lots of first dates with girls. It was the second date that posed a problem because they never wanted to go out with me again. So,
wow. Okay, that's a sad story. Steve.
I know. I'm still coping with my low self-esteem as a result. Mm-hmm. I did have a girlfriend senior year of high school. We dated for a number of months, and she broke my heart right after graduation. Sent me off to college as a lonely soul.
As a lonely soul. Mm-hmm. It's probably not a terrible thing, though, right?
No.
At the time, it probably felt terrible.
Felt terrible then, but came back around about a year or so later. Less than a year later, I actually met this young lady named Karen. She's pretty fine.
She happens to be your wife now, which
she
is
does,
great.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I had a pretty serious relationship in college. My freshman year of college with a gal. Then she didn't come back for the sophomore year. Stayed out in Kansas, and then we continued to date. We were dating long distance.
Okay.
It was great. She actually planned to come visit me my sophomore year on my birthday weekend, which I thought was sweet. What wasn't sweet about it was she brought with her new boyfriend.
Oh, that was very kind of her.
And then informed me that weekend that we didn't have a future.
Did the two of you become fast friends, you and that other guy?
His name was Lindley. I can't make that stuff up. His name was Lindley, which hurt even more. Lindley.
You sure this wasn't a puppy?
No, it was a real person. After I got over it finally, Lindley's sister was going to the college I went to, and I actually asked her on a date because she was a very attractive woman. She declined for obvious reasons. It was super awkward. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. But
I had my high school girlfriend, I got to tell you this story. When we were, the relationship was rocky, to say the least, but there was a point in the relationship where it was particularly rocky. And I said, hey, do you want to go out this Friday? And she said to me, no, I just want to have fun.
Oh, wow. That's terrible.
I know. It's cold.
Yikes.
Yeah, should have seen the writing on the wall at that point.
Yeah, I think that would have been my first sign that this one's not going anywhere good.
Anyway, that kind of leads us into our discussion for today, because we wanted to talk about what relationships look like in youth ministry.
Oh, and there's just almost no way for them not to be awkward and to cause all kinds of rifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, high school relationships just by their very nature are super awkward.
Oh, 100%.
And middle school relationships are worse.
Even worse. And like you said, the church tends to be an incubator for that. Like
it
the
does.
Youth group, which we need to talk about.
It's because you have all the teens together in one place, and maybe there's trips involved or retreats.
Camp relationships.
Yeah, camp relationships and bus rides. Bus rides are like
the
fuel to passion, right?
It's terrible.
So there's just an awkwardness to it. I understand that maybe you had a few awkward moments of high school relationship when you were no longer in high school.
Yeah. I mean, lots of awkwardness over the years, but nothing more awkward than when I started as a youth pastor. I was young. I started at 19, basically, 20 years old as a youth pastor. A couple of years in, I received a letter. Yes, this was before the internet. I received a letter in the mail from one of the girls in my youth group's mom. Who
she was asking you out?
No. She wanted me to take her daughter to her junior prom at her school. Oh. And so she wrote me this letter saying it would mean so much to her. She looks up to you as a spiritual leader. And she thinks that I think this would just be the greatest thing ever. But she cannot know that I put you up to asking her. So you just have to naturally ask her to go to prom.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine writing that letter? What a terrible position to put you in.
I can't imagine receiving the letter, although I did. Let's just say...
Did the letter have perfume on it?
No, it didn't. I asked her...
Have like little hearts written at the...
No.
Drawn in at the
bottom? No. It did not have any of those things.
Was it delivered with a box of chocolates?
I called the mom and I said, are you paying? No, I did not. I'm lying. I did not. I literally...
You called mom and said, well, I won't take your daughter, but I'll take you.
Steve, you're making this worse. This was an awkward story in the first place.
You called the mom and you said, I won't take that daughter, but I'll take your other daughter.
No, Steve. Who gave this guy a microphone today? No.
I've had too much coffee today.
I placed the letter in the trash can and never thought about it or talked to the mother or the daughter about it again. But it was super awkward having that girl in my youth group. Even though I knew she didn't know, I knew. And it was just a good year and a half of...
Oh, so you never responded at all?
Never responded. No. I was like, this does not deserve a response. And I pretended I never got it. And the mother never brought it up. Never once brought it up.
Wow.
Which I was eternally grateful for.
What happened to that girl? She ended up getting married?
No idea.
Married a youth pastor somewhere?
No idea. Steve, you're terrible. We need to get into the content here, man. This story is taking us off base.
Yeah, so we thought we'd talk today about youth ministry and relationships within your youth ministry. What does that look like? How do you create the environment that you want over that, the culture that you want to kind of integrate?
Do you teach on it? How do you teach on it? How often do you teach on it? Just things that I think as youth workers, although we don't want to think about, I know that I didn't want to think about it. When I first started out, I wasn't thinking about what's the culture I want to create in my youth ministry surrounding dating or relationships or how am I going to teach on this? I didn't want to think about that because that was just awkward. I was too busy getting asked out to prom by kids in that youth group.
I got to confess, I haven't even thought that much about creating this intentional culture around this. I think it's kind of leaked in over the years as I've gain some wisdom and experience and have certain ideas and expectations. But yeah, so maybe this is good for me too to have this conversation and really be intentional about creating that culture that's healthy for students and relationships.
Yeah. So what kind of culture do you want to create in student ministry around relationships? Because some people would just say, well, just tell people not to date in your youth group or tell people not to date. And I mean, I just think telling a high school kid not to do something without any basis behind it is pretty much inviting them to do it in spite of you.
Right, because I said so.
Right, and so that's not an opportunity. So you got to think a little bit deeper.
Oh, and there are some church cultures where there's very intentional, deliberate opinions on this. So maybe you're in a church culture where you practice courtship, there's a whole kind of a subculture of that, and they're very intentional about that, and that's fine if that's kind of the way that your church rolls. We're very much not that here in our culture in Maryland, and our churches are, mostly public school kids,
right.
And there's lots of dating relationships outside the church as well as inside the church, and so we got to learn to deal with that.
Yeah, and again, that means we got to go a little bit deeper and think, okay, so what is the culture, not only that we want to create, but that we think is possible to create, that's realistic.
Right. So the first thing that we do, that as I look back, is our family groups, our small groups, are broken down by age and gender.
Same.
From middle school into high school. So we have a sixth grade girls group, a sixth grade boys group, etc., all the way through senior year. And in my head, what I want to create is a culture of friendship in each grade. So I want the sixth grade boys and the sixth grade girls to kind of grow up as friends.
Together
in the youth ministry. And sure, new kids come and people come and go. But that's the spirit and the kind of the intentional culture I want to create. So we do a few things every now and then, like we'll mix the groups on a typical youth group night.
Just mix up things a little bit.
Have them meet together, all together. We encourage our leaders to actually have outside events where they invite everybody. So like I know, like, our current seniors, they've had a bunch of bonfires over the years where everybody comes. Girls and guys all come out and hang out together. And I think it takes some of the, I don't know, maybe a little bit of the awkwardness out of it, because we want them to see themselves as friends, as brothers and sisters. If that's the spirit that we can create, that I think helps just make things a lot healthier.
Yeah, yeah. I think ours is a little different in our culture. We have separate gender and grade groups in middle school, but then in high school, we have still have separate gender groups, but they're mixed grade-wise.
Oh, right, right.
But it's still the same idea. We're trying to create a culture, and we talk about it. We're actually very intentional about it and have been intentional about talking about how we're trying to create a family atmosphere. We're trying to create a place where everybody feels welcomed, everybody feels loved, everybody feels cared for, and feels like they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And the reality is, of any small factions, including a couple, right, a pair that pulls away from the group, is fighting against the very culture that we're trying to build. And so so it's not an anti-dating message. It's a pro-community message.
Okay.
That says, look, if you guys are going to date, I'm not going to tell you can. I'm not going to be mad at you that you're dating. But what I am going to say is, when you're here, because we're trying to create a family culture where nobody feels left out or excluded or alienated, you have to interact maybe as if you're not dating. And I know that's unrealistic, but we set the bar high so that hopefully in trying to reach that, we get close.
You can imagine how badly that could go if there was a bunch of couples in your youth group. It'd be like you show up as a new person. You need a plus one just to come, just to come to youth group.
Exactly. And so we talk about that. We talk about how if we're pairing off, and we know this happens, we're going to get to that in a little while, that it just doesn't create the environment that we think God wants this group to be for the betterment of his kingdom. And so to give them a bigger vision for why it matters that, not that they don't date, but that they interact differently when they're in a larger group setting.
It's such a tough sell, though, because, I was a teenage guy. When I was a teenager and I would walk into a room of people, the first thing I did was look around for all the girls.
100%.
Right? I can confess that. That's just the reality. So that's what's happening in our groups today. Right? They're coming in on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're like, hey who's here tonight?
Look who's here tonight. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So we have to continually speak to that to try to build, like you said, a bigger vision for what's happening.
Yeah. And so as you think about the culture you want to create, again, the first step is to kind of think, well, what is that culture I want? The harder work is, okay, then how do I create that?
Right.
You create that with some intentionality in these conversations. What are other ways we can create that environment that we want?
Well, we do teach on it. Every other year or so, we'll have a relationship series where we're trying to build the culture through the teaching. So we talk about the importance of the community. We talk about the importance of purity. That's always a part of it, sexual purity. And then just pursuing God above all other things, and God will bless us in relationships when we're pursuing him. So trying to set that as the course, and hope that the kids at least catch that vision and believe us that God's best is awaiting them if they're patient and if they're really seeking him.
Yeah, so
does that work?
Well, I mean, on paper it works. Yeah, we're very similar. Probably about every other year or every third year, we'll do a pretty big push on relationships, almost never exclusively dating, although dating folds into just how we relate to one another. And we've probably done a couple of a series over the course of 10 years that were very much targeted, where we wanted to kind of speak into their lives what we thought was the best for how they would pursue, if they were going to pursue dating, in what ways they would do that.
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of that culture was just born out of, well, what would I teach my own children? You know, when I was younger in youth ministry, my children were young, and so they weren't dating at four. And so, but I had to start thinking about that, about, well, what happens when my kid is 14.
Isaac didn't come home from preschool
with a girlfriend? He did not.
Okay. I came home from second grade with a girlfriend.
Yeah. I remember I had a girl in third grade. We found some broken glass on a fire hydrant once. I thought it was diamonds, and we were going to run away together. And yeah, it was weird. Anyway, all that to say, I had to think about what kind of culture I wanted to create for my own kids regarding dating. Like, how was I going to talk to my own kids about dating? And I have to be honest, that's what informed, well, if I think that's what's best for my kids because I want God's best for them, then this is probably God's best. So it sort of morphed into the culture I tried to create and how I taught at the church, which was much more around not dictating what they could or couldn't do. Like my own children, there was not an age at which they had to reach before they dated. And I know that's a popular thing for some people to do. We never did that, but we just had some parameters set up for our kids because what I was convinced is I think my kids will make decisions about dating without fully thinking through how that might go, you know, or where it might end.
So you had questions that you had to answer before you could pursue that relationship.
Yep. So there was not an age for our kids. There was just a set of questions they had to answer.
There was
with
a knowledge,
mom and dad.
A base of knowledge they had to have.
And so most of them just didn't want to have that conversation, so they didn't date much. We just kind of made it maybe unattractive to date because they had to sit down and have this super awkward conversation with mom and dad about, well, what are your boundaries going to be? And what do you think it's going to be like if it doesn't work out? And if you decide you don't want to be together, how are you going to, how are you going to kindly let this person down? Or what happens if they let you down? Then how are you going to think about them or treat it? You know, all these things, which again, I just think most teenagers, well, heck, most probably adults don't think very far beyond the right here. No, I like her. I want to date her.
Right.
This is going to be great. Well, no. Well,
we will end up married.
Yes, exactly. And so I kind of created that culture in our student ministry as well, where it was like, look, let's just, you know, have a conversation. You want to date this girl? Great. Let's, you mind getting together for lunch? I have a few questions I'd like to ask you. And then you get through those questions and again, if they get through that and they still go, yep, sounds great. The chances are we'll break up and we won't be friends anymore, but I still want to do it. Well, then at that point in time, I got to throw my hands up and say like, look, dude, told you so.
Yeah.
which I would never say, you know, because that would just be a terrible thing to say when it happens. But
okay. So I think what we're saying is have some intentionality behind the culture that you create around this issue. Talk about it freely. Share that with your small group leaders so they're having those same conversations. Try to build friendship and, you know, brothers and sisters as kind of the culture.
Community is key.
And then, you know, you also have to kind of go with the wishes of parents too. So, you know, there's times when you have to have that conversation with parents about their kids' dating relationships. And sometimes that's really easy and sometimes not. They may have different opinions.
They may know what's going on and they have absolutely no clue what's going on.
Yep,
sometimes you're the bearer of very unfortunate news.
Right, right.
And then you have a student that's very angry with you the next week because, well, what did you tell my parents for?
Yeah. So it's kind of a known fact in our youth ministry that I'm not a big fan of dating in the youth ministry.
Same.
And that's because I've just seen so many things go wrong.
Right.
So many mishaps, misadventures, and ultimately just ridiculous drama is the primary culprit. So, yeah, let's just talk a little bit about what happens when things don't work out, because that's going to happen.
A high possibility. There's a couple of different ways things can go south.
Yeah,
when kids date, especially when kids date in our youth group, but even when kids date outside the youth group, and we still have this oversight over
absolutely
caring for them and their soul, and so the breakup. The breakup. That's the most obvious way for it to go south is for it not to work out, which I don't know the exact stats, but I'm pretty sure is plus 90% of high school relationships don't last. And
well,
so
can I use my own youth ministry as a gauge of that?
You certainly can.
I think it's 99.999.
Okay. Right.
No,
same here.
A few married couples, formerly students. In most cases, they didn't start dating till senior year at the earliest, and even after, and the rest all ended in flames.
Yep. in my experience at Cedarbrook anyway, in the last 15 years, the only couple that was in youth group together that are married did not date at all in high mm-hmm. school. In fact, they both will admit if they would have dated in high school, it probably would not have worked mm-hmm. and they wouldn't be together today. So mm-hmm. I might say in our group it's 100%
okay.
end in flames. So the breakup is coming. So when that happens, what's our position? And I think about this a lot, especially coming from the guy, and you're admitting it as well, that it's not a secret that you're not a fan of dating.
Right.
In my ministry, it's also not a secret that I don't think this is a good plan. So there's a real danger mm-hmm. of moving into gloat mode.
Gloat mode.
Right, right?
I told you so.
That like, look, we had this conversation. Yeah. I told you this is probably where it's going to end up, and it ended up. But I have to check myself because that is going to be the least helpful thing
right.
to that student in that moment of their life. And so what is the better way? Help me, Steve. Okay. What is a better way to approach that when we have hurting students?
I think I definitely know what you're saying about the gloat mode, and I would privately share that with my wife or something. I knew this wasn't going to work out. Look what they're doing. But, you know, the reality is that this is a real relationship to these kids.
Absolutely.
And their hearts are hurting, as mine was when I was 17 or whatever. Yep. And it's a real thing to them. It's a big thing to them. So you have to come alongside them, listen to them, encourage them. You know, I don't think we need to get super caught up in the whole drama of it all. Just, you know, try to remain the adult in it all,
mm-hmm.
but encourage and love. And then the big thing is, you know what? This is going to be okay. We still want you all to be involved in this youth ministry because God is bigger than this.
Right.
So let's not let this be the thing that, you know, your friend group starts sniping at each other and the next thing you know, so-and-so isn't coming anymore.
There's divisions in the group.
Yeah, that's the thing that I really am wary about and don't want to happen. So I have that conversation up front often mm-hmm. with students who are starting to date and just kind of make them commit to, hey, if this doesn't work out, I want you guys to stay involved here. This cannot be the division of you with this ministry or your relationship with the Lord.
Right. Yep. It's very easy to be dismissive in that moment because we know that they're making a much bigger deal of something that is, in the grand scheme of things, small. But for them, I mean, to remember what it felt like to be them, to them, it is a big thing right now. And yes, it won't be a big thing in a month or 6 months, but they don't know that. To help them come to that reality, to give them a bigger picture for what God's trying to do, it's got to come alongside.
I'm going to be brutally honest. So the last time this happened, which wasn't too long ago, I just kind of passed it on to my younger leaders because I think they were a little more empathetic of it. Mm-hmm. And I love the students and care about them, but I'm just not that caught up in the drama. So my younger leaders were a little bit closer to it, a little bit more able to empathize
and be there and kind of be there, which is great. I mean, we need good leaders around us when we can't fill that specific role.
The other thing we thought of was just when couples are still dating, but they're super isolated in your group. Oh, do you have that?
Oh, it's so heartbreaking
to see
because you get where they're coming from. Some of them, I'm over the years, there's been a lot of them. They're like, look, the only time we really get to see each other is at church or youth group, which I just think, oh, come on, for real. And then they spend all this time together. And you know that they can't see that it's causing problems everywhere for them.
You know it's going to end badly.
Right.
We had a couple one time a few years back. They started a date, and it was a big hullabaloo when it started. Like, everybody in the youth group knew, oh, look, now they're dating. The second night of their relationship, they disappeared for like 45 minutes. And someone comes to me, and they're like, have you seen so-and-so? And I said, no. They were here. Where did they go? And of course, we're thinking the worst.
Yes.
What they were really doing is they were off like taking pictures, like
couple pictures
for social media. And there was actually someone else with them. So it was all
on nothing. The up and up. Right.
Yeah. But still, it's just second week that you're dating and you disappear for 45 minutes at youth group. And you think this relationship is going to go well? Are you kidding me?
Right.
This is not a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. And you isolate yourself, which is then isolating yourself from the community that we're trying to build. And then you're surprised that when it doesn't work out, that then you're not as connected to the community as you were before. Mm-hmm. You basically cordoned yourself off for,
yes,
whether it be weeks or months or even years. And so to try to just speak truth into them in that moment that, like, look, no, that's great that you guys are together, but you isolating yourself is hurting the group. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's hurting you. You've got to just integrate a little bit more and find a night to go to Perkins together. Goodness gracious. Youth group is not your, you know, not your date night. It's different. And
you can't go to Perkins in Frederick County anymore because it's closed. So if you're there at Perkins on your date night, you're probably in an abandoned building, which would be a lot of trouble.
I don't know why I said Perkins. It's like the oldest, nastiest restaurant around. Who goes to Perkins anymore?
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I was thinking back. We still call to mind this couple that's legendary in our youth ministry. And I don't want to say their names, but let's just say that it was George and Susan.
Sure.
George Although and Susan. Although it wasn't George and Susan. And they started a date. They were part of big classes and everybody was friends, but they started a date and they kind of cloistered themselves off from everybody else, and they would sit in the couches and just whisper at each other, and everyone thought it was so awkward.
And annoying, probably.
Oh, it was terribly annoying. And I remember hearing at one point that the girl said, oh, I think I've met my soulmate.
Yeah, maybe not.
And then they broke up. And for the guy, all his relationships were gone.
Yeah.
All his friendships were over because he had stopped engaging with anyone else.
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, he was gone.
Yeah.
What a shame.
And I think that falls on us as leaders because, again, we have the depth of knowledge that they don't have. We have the experience that they don't have. We have to find a way to artfully and respectfully help them see that bigger picture. And again, not say, stop dating, don't date, it's of the devil. I mean, I don't think that's the plan, but to help them see, like, hey, like, you still have some guy friends, and those friends are going to be important to you over the next months and years. Like, don't abandon that, you know, and to help them see that. We've got to be intentional about that because most high school kids are not going to see it.
And sometimes they're just not going to listen because we did that, and they didn't listen, and it still ended badly.
Yeah, and then you got to come alongside them as best you can because it ended badly.
I think the positive of that whole scenario was that we used that as a teachable moment. It definitely taught their peers, oh, this is what happens. Now I know what Steve was talking about.
Right.
And they saw that. And so they were able to kind of reflect back on that and not let it happen again.
Yep, which is good.
And I use that story even today with other students. Don't end up like them.
Don't be like them. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, what was that commercial back in the day? Don't be like...
Oh, who was that? I can't even remember. Don't be like...
It was for DirecTV.
I think you're right.
Whatever.
I can't remember who it is. Anyway, have you ever had this one in your group where you've got the pre-dating stage, and it could be two girls interested in the same guy or two guys interested in the same girl, and then the other person makes a decision, and somebody's left out in the cold?
Definitely had that.
Super awkward. Definitely super hard. Because you're looking at the beginning of one relationship is typically the end of another relationship. And all of those relationships are happening in the context of a group you're trying to get better connected.
I don't have an answer to that. It's just a terrible thing.
It is a terrible thing.
I remember one instance where that exact scenario unfolded. And then it got worse because the winning girl, the one who got the guy, kind of threw it in the face of the losing girl who didn't get the guy.
Oh.
Like, wow.
That's terrible. Yeah, that's tough.
That relationship didn't go well either.
No, I bet not. I bet not. Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that. It's going to be messy.
Yeah, it's going to be messy, and you just got to be ready to pick up the pieces when the pieces start falling off, because they will.
Yeah.
They just will.
And maybe that's the greatest lesson from this conversation, is that there's a lot of messiness in this.
Yep.
You can set some intentionality, some culture, try to create a culture, maybe mitigate some of that messiness.
Which I think we should do.
Yes.
But it's not going to be the answer.
It's not foolproof.
It's not foolproof, because if there's 80 kids in your youth group or 8, life finds a way.
I'd say if there's 2 in your youth group,
they're probably going to end up dating.
And it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It's part of navigating high school. It's part of navigating adolescence. It's part of life.
It'll create lots of teachable moments. Absolutely. As long as we're there for the teachable moments. In other words, don't get so frustrated that it's happening when you wish it wasn't happening that you miss the teachable moments that are in it, because it's all going to be part of their development as a human being and certainly their development as a Christ follower.
And I think maybe that's kind of the landing spot today is that, you know, for you and I, we both go towards don't do anything that messes up my youth group.
Yes. Yes. I definitely have that mentality.
And that's fine. But we also have to remember we're talking about fragile adolescent hearts and
Not fully developed brains to go with those adolescent hearts.
Right. And so in the end, we need to care for our teenagers as best we can in the midst of their stupid decisions and even things that aggravate us and mess up our youth groups.
Correct.
We have to try to love them through it.
Absolutely.
So
hopefully that helps you to maybe get some framework around how to think about this, maybe start framing what your intentionality is and how you're going to teach on it again. But then also for you to have some honest conversations with, okay, even once I have intentionality in teaching, how am I going to be there for my students in the midst of this hot mess?
Right. And you know what? If your daughter is looking for a date to prom, I think Matthew's available. So, you know, just write him a letter,
Steve,
and he'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Why did you go back to that? You're
that
a terrible human being.
That's a legendary story.
Oh,
you're just
goodness.
such a hot hunk of man. I just can't imagine you not taking her up on that offer.
I don't think that's at all what it had to do with. I don't know what it had to do with, but it wasn't that.
I was 35 when I started as a youth pastor, so if that happened to me,
that'd be super awkward. I mean, at the end of the day, I really was only 3 years older than this person at the time, but yeah, it was still just really bad. Anyway, thanks for bringing that up again, Steve. I greatly appreciate it.
No problem.
Well, thanks for listening today to the Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 43. We'd love to hear from you. We love interacting with our listeners as best we can. Jump on Instagram and give us a shout out or ask a question. We'd love to engage in dialogue or just tell us what's going on. If you have any horror stories from youth group dating, we'd certainly love to hear those on our Facebook page or Instagram page.
And we know you do, so share.
Yeah, so share them. And if you have not yet gone out to either iTunes or whatever your podcast is and give us a good review so that other people know about us, that'd be super helpful.
Absolutely. So we'll be back next week with episode 44, and we've got some good things in store. You got to listen up soon. We're going to be releasing our second legend interview.
It'll be hard to follow up our first legend. Heather's interview is just absolutely epic.
Yeah. Well, our next one will be out the third Thursday of February. So look for that. Sherpa Legends episode 2 coming out soon.
So until next week, Sherpas out. Let it flow. It floats back to you.